this week's parasha is Parashas VeYakov Pekudei. And the parasha begins with the Torah telling us about the prohibition to do malacha on Shabbos. And then it goes on to describe the commandments of building the Mishkan. And Rashi brings the Chazal that this is to tell us that although the building of the Mishkan is very important, it does not precede Shabbos, it does not override Shabbos, and therefore you cannot build the Mishkan on Shabbos. And Mesh Chachma asks that you see in Parshas Kisisa, when the Torah tells us over there about building the Mishkan, there it actually says first the building of the Mishkan, and then it tells us about Shabbos. So what changed? Why over here, when it comes to Parshas Vayakel Pekudei, does it say that Shabbos comes before building the Mishkan, when seemingly earlier on it said that the Mishkan comes before Shabbos? And he explains as follows. He says, there's really another question we have to ask ourselves, which is that we know that although the building of the Mishkan does not override Shabbos, you don't build the Mishkan on Shabbos, but it's clear that the Avoda, the actual service in the Beis HaMikdash and in the Mishkan, did override Shabbos. They brought Karbanos on Shabbos, and it did other things that are usually prohibited on Shabbos. It did them in the service of the Beis HaMikdash. So why is it that the building of the Mishkan does not override Shabbos, whereas the Avoda, the actual service, does? The Rosh Chacham explains a very fundamental point. He says that Shabbos is our testimony that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. 6 days of creation and the seventh day He rested. And we testify that every time we rest on Shabbos. Avoda, when we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishkan, says the Rosh Chacham, that testifies something else. It testifies that not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world in 6 days and rest on the seventh, it shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly involved in running the world. And when we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishkan and in the Beis HaMikdash, and even in our day-to-day life now, we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu by davening and asking Him for sustenance and asking Him for health and everything else, we're showing that He's constantly still involved. And in the Mishkan specifically, where His Shechina was there, and everyone saw all the open miracles that went on in the Mishkan, the Avodah, the serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishkan, was a testimony not just of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of the world in the original, but to the fact that He's constantly involved. And that's why the Avodah took precedence over Shabbos, because it's a greater testimony. It's a testimony to the ever-constant presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu here in our world. However, says the Mesh Chachma, it's only possible once the Shechina is down here. Before the Mishkan was built, there's no room for that service on such a clear level. There's no room for that testimony because there's no Mishkan, there's no Shechina in the Mishkan to serve yet. So therefore, the actual building of the Mishkan can override Shabbos because the building of it isn't a testimony to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's constant presence. It's only once the Mishkan was built and the presence of Shechina was there and apparent, that's when the Avodah can serve as a testimony to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's constant presence. It says about Shachamah, that's all true nowadays. When we did the Chet HaEgel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina only has certain places to rest, like a Mishkan and a Mikdash. Before the Chet HaEgel was done, back in Parshas Kisisa, the idea was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina would be everywhere. Every Jewish home, every Jew would be able to carry the Shechina in an open way and you would see it. And the Mishkan would be just another way of serving Hashem, like a menorah and an aron, etc. So therefore, prior to the Chet HaEgel, since the Shechina was already down there and present and clear, any service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the building of the Mishkan, would be allowed to Deicha Shabbos because it would be a clear testimony to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. It's only once the Jews sinned in the Chet HaEgel, now that the Shechina left and it was only going to be brought back through the finishing of the building of the Mishkan, that's when they had to not override Shabbos to build it. They had to wait till it was built to do the Avodah in the Mishkan. The Das Kanim in our parasha writes that in the merit of the women who brought their jewelry to the building of the Mishkan, the women merited the holiday of Rish Chedesh. The Torah says in Halakha that the women, Rish Chedesh is a women's holiday. And they merited that holiday, says Das Kanim, because they gave their jewelry to the Mishkan. Now the question is that the Torah himself, in Hilchos Rish Chedesh, writes from a Medrash that the reason why the women merited to have the holiday of Rish Chedesh was specifically for a different reason, because they didn't partake in the Chet HaEgel when the men got involved. So how do you reconcile this Das Kanim with what the Medrash the Torah brings? So I heard a beautiful pshat from Moshe Kalfin. He said that the Drash Moshe comments on a pasuk in this week's parasha. The pasuk says that when the women brought the jewelry for the Mishkan, the pasuk says that he brought it al hanashim. They wore the jewelry themselves and they brought it to the Mishkan. And Moshe Feinstein points out, well, the Torah is trying to tell us, why is it important for us to know that the women carried the jewelry on them, they wore it, and then they donated to the Mishkan? He says, because a lot of times, you know, women had different types of jewelry. They have jewelry they actually like and they wear. Then there's a jewelry their husband bought them, and they feel bad, they don't want to offend them, but they kind of keep it in their jewelry box, and they never wear it. Or they had their grandmother's old jewelry. Jewelry they're not that excited about. So the Torah is telling us, which jewelry did they give to the Mishkan? Not the jewelry they don't care about, the one that they keep in the box over there. They brought the jewelry they actually wear, and they donated that jewelry to the Mishkan because that's how much they wanted to partake, and that's how much they valued the building of the Mishkan. So there at Calvin, he said a very nice shot. He said, based on this Rav Moshe Feinstein, we can explain it as follows. You see, when the women didn't partake in the Chet Egel, when the husbands came and said, give us your jewelry, we want to build a Chet Egel, and they said no. Was that necessarily coming from a place of tzidkus, of righteousness? Or maybe it was just coming because they don't want to give their jewelry up for some ego. They want to keep their jewelry for themselves. How do we know what the root cause was why they didn't give up their jewelry? Says the Das Kanim, in this week's parsha, when they go and they give that same jewelry up for the Mishkan and to bring down Hashrach Hashchina in this world, you see that they didn't partake in the Egel, it wasn't simply because they were stingy. It was because they cared about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and didn't want to do the wrong thing. And then second, it came an opportunity to give their jewelry for the right thing, they did it. So the point that the Das Kanim is making is, yes, the reason women have the mischus of Rosh Chodesh and becomes their holiday is because they didn't partake in the Egel. But now is when we see where that came from. Now is when they earned that schus because they showed that when it came to do something good, they were the first ones and they were excited to give. And that is why they merited to have the special Yom Tov of Rosh Chodesh. The Pasuk tells us that they finished all the Avoida of the Mishkan. And the Rabbeinu B'chai and the Ramban ask, why doesn't it say they finished all the Malacha? They finished all the work. The word Avoida is usually used for service, like Avoida in the Mikdash, when the Kohen does Avoida. Malacha is usually when you describe when you're building something, you're creating something. So Rav Pam explains, he says that because Torah wants to tell us an important thing. There's different ways to see the same act. A person can see his day-to-day life when he goes to work, when he takes care of his family. A person can see that as malacha, he's working, he's doing what he has to get done. But then there's people who can see it all as avoida. They can see that all of us as a service of Hashem. And they can elevate everything they do in a day-to-day life to be this, I'm doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said I should do it, this is a mitzvah, and I'm doing it for the right reasons. And it makes their same actions that they do every day, it takes it from being a malacha and turns it into avoida Hashem. As Nesoteri wants us to know, the people who built the Mishkan, they didn't see it as a malacha. They didn't see it as a job they have to do. They saw it as an avoda. They saw it as a holy work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what elevated it, and that's what made them grow. I want to end off with one last point. The Gemara in Brachas tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu called Bezalel and told him to build the Aroin, the Shulchan, the Menorah, all the different vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, and then to go and build the Mishkan. And then Bezalel tells him back, he's like, you know, we're going to build all these things, and then where are we going to put them? They're going to sit there out and exposed to the elements. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant you should really first build the Mishkan, build the frame, the house, the covers, the structure, and then build the utensils that you put inside it. And the Gemara says, the Moshe Rabbeinu says, wow, you must have been Bezalel Kel, you must have been in the shadow of God. You're right, that's what Hashem said. Very, very cryptic Gemara. So the Mefarshim explain that the conversation going on to Moshe and Bezalel has to be understood on a deeper level. The truth is, if you look back in Parashas Kisisa, the Torah in Parashas Truma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does say very clearly to Moshe Rabbeinu to first build the utensils and only then build the Mishkan. So what is this idea that Bezalel is saying that they're going to be exposed to the elements? What's going on over here? So Farshim says as follows, that you see, there's two different ways to approach a project. There's the muskul way, let's call it the spiritual, deep intellectual way to do it, which is that you want to know first, what's your goal? What are you trying to get out of this? What's the point of this project? Now, when it comes to the Mishkan, there's no question that the goal of the Mishkan, like the Ramban tells us, was to have a place for Hashem's Shechina to rest in this world, and that happened on top of the Aron, on top of the Kapiras. That's where the Shechina rested. So there's no question that the core goal of building the Mishkan was to have an Aron where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina could rest. Now, practically, how do you get about building that? Well, you have to have a Mishkan around it to protect it from the elements. You have to have a this, you have to have a that. You have to get there. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him the idea of what we're building, it came by concept first. In concept, the goals were first. We need to make an Aron. Okay, well, we need to have an Aron, then we need to have something to protect it. Then we need to have this, we need to have that. And then it came outwards, ultimately to having a Mishkan with a Chatzar, etc. When Bezalel says, okay, well, now we got to build it in the world of reality of Maisa, how are we going to build it? Well, we have to start from the outside in. And we have to start building the walls, we have to build the protection, and then finally, we can get to the goal. And that's how Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're right. You're 100% correct. In Lemaisa and practical, we're going to have to go that way. But you should know what it is we're striving for. It's a very important thing for ourselves always, is that many times in life, yes, we're very busy with the externals, and we have to take care of the outside stuff and the physical things. But there always has to be a clarity of what are we striving for. What's first in our mind always has to be, what's the ultimate goal? What's it all about? What are we striving for? And then we engage in the physicality and build from the outside. And we should all have a wonderful Shabbos.